Welcome to a special edition of Cross Currents from KLW News, produced with students from Mills College in Oakland. I'm Holly Kernan. Today we're dedicating the whole show to one school, Skyline High. Skyline is one of 15 public high schools in Oakland, and it's the only one located in the hills.
Yeah, there's a lot of trees. When it's sunny, it's really nice, you know, and vibrant.
This is probably one of the biggest campuses in Oakland, and it's one of the great campuses. It's more peaceful and calmer up here.
It's in the hills, and it's like, I don't know, you just feel like you're breathing in good air.
Skyline historically has been the jewel of Oakland schools.
It's very outdoorsy, and you feel one with nature up here. Skyline is the best campus in Oakland.
A beautiful, diverse place.
One of a kind. Every day's different. You never know what to expect.
The 42-acre campus is nestled among redwoods and million-dollar homes. Nearly 2,000 students attend this traditional campus, and many students value the diverse mix here. But that wasn't always the case. Skyline High opened in 1961 and was almost immediately surrounded by conflict. Its proposed attendance zone was 1 mile wide, 10 miles long, and based entirely in the hills, which excluded students from the flatlands. This kept the school racially as well as economically homogenous, despite the fact that the city's black population nearly doubled during the previous decade. The NAACP led the fight to integrate the city's newest high school, and in 1965 they won that battle, and Skyline gradually began to allow students from all over Oakland to attend. Now, Skyline has one of the most diverse school populations in California, with about 34% Latino students, 33% African American, 20% Asian American, and nearly 10% white. Skyline is essentially an urban school in the most suburban part of the city. Mills reporters spent a semester getting to know the kids, teachers, and culture of Skyline to bring us a portrait of the school today. Most students at Skyline don't live in the neighborhood. They commute from East and West Oakland. So getting to Skyline can be complicated, as reporter Maddie Fowler found out.
About 30 buses are lined up in front of Skyline. It's 3 o'clock and the school day is over. Within minutes, more than 1,000 kids are about to get on these buses to go home. But they're not your typical yellow school buses. They're AC Transit. That's public transportation. And it's not always the smoothest ride.
It's not good. Fights, arguing, fights. Everybody's loud. It's just not good.
It'd be ratchet.
No, it's just not loud.
No.
In the morning. In the morning.
In the morning.
No,
in the morning.
Yeah, they're not always reliable.
A bus full of students can be chaotic. But besides being crowded, students say the bus is expensive. Maurice is a freshman at Skyline.
I've been riding a bus since 6th grade, paying $2 every day. So I probably spent over like $1,000 or something. Gotta get home somehow. Gotta get to school somehow.
The Oakland School District can't afford to subsidize transportation, so students like Magisha have to pay for the bus out of pocket.
I spend like $10 a week on bus fare. Like $50 a month, $40 a month.
He says that adds up quickly. It can cost $300 to $400 a year for bus fare. A lot of these teenagers buy a Clipper card for $20 a month, but many pay the daily fee. And if you don't have the money, Magisha says you're kind of stuck.
I'll probably have to call my mom, and then she'd probably have to take the bus up here because she don't have a car, and then like we have to take the bus down together.
Another student, LaRue Henderson, says it takes him about an hour to commute from East Oakland to Skyline every day.
I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Henderson takes 2 buses to get to school, and he tells me that bus drivers are strict on exact change.
Because it's $1.05 for the pay. If you don't have the 5 cents, then the bus driver doesn't let you on the bus. Like this morning, they couldn't even go on the bus because of the bus driver. They didn't have a 5 cent. They just got left there, and she said, was she really going to buckle down on it tomorrow and make sure nobody really gets on the bus without the 5 cent having a 5 cent?
Not having exact change can make students late for school.
If you are tired to any of your classes 3 times in 1 day, then you get automatic 5-day suspension.
Is this our bus?
These transportation challenges make it really difficult for students to get to school. And it's not just a problem at Skyline. This transportation issue is endemic to all of OUSD.
You know, transportation's always been at the kind of heart of civil rights movement because it's about access to opportunity.
Bob Allen is a transit justice advocate with Urban Habitat.
That's why, you know, Freedom Riders got on buses and crossed state lines. That's why, you know, Rosa Parks refused to go to the back of a bus because she was trained as an organizer. Trent is always about moving people to opportunity.
Allen says subsidized youth transportation is a critical civil rights issue. He believes that the youth transportation problem is a direct result of AC Transit not receiving enough government funding.
So we have a system where we're okay at building, getting the money to build things, especially shiny new things, because, you know, politicians love to go with a shovel and take a picture. But, you know, people are not very excited about bus drivers and mechanics, people clean the buses. It's hard to get funding to just say we want to run more buses.
Allen says AC Transit continuously gets the back seat in government funding. In fact, when it comes to transportation, he says low-income kids of color are ignored.
You know, I think there's also just an obvious element of racism to it, too. Some people don't want lots of low-income black and brown kids getting on the bus and going places. They have these delusions that kids are going to be running around causing problems.
But, Allen notes, San Francisco is experimenting with giving young people free transportation passes. Google is donating $7 million to the city to make that happen. And later this year, Alameda County will vote on free youth bus passes, too.
It's a really good bang for the buck. You get instant results.
When I first came to California and became involved with education, I was really surprised to find that school busing is not a given.
Oakland Unified spokesperson Troy Flint moved to California from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1999. He acknowledges the bus issue is a problem for students.
So to get here and to find that so many kids were relying on public transportation was surprising to me.
But, he says, everyone who receives public funding is feeling the pinch.
So I don't see any relief coming in terms of funding that would allow for us to provide for school district busing. I think California's pretty much decided this is the way it's going to operate.
Back on the bus at Skyline, this AC Transit bus driver says she's against free youth bus passes.
They out here buying snacks, they out here smoking weed, they out here drinking, they got the latest outfit on. You can afford a bus pass.
Danielle, who didn't want to give her last name, has worked for AC Transit for 14 years and has seen similar programs implemented in the past.
Bad idea.
Why is that a bad idea?
Because they did some kind of program like that years ago where that low income got the free passes. And people, grandma had them passes and Dolphins had them passes.
As a bus driver, Danielle thinks implementing a free bus program would create more trouble than triumph. Though, she does have a soft spot for kids that can't afford the bus.
I felt bad this morning, though, because I do another route, and this little boy, he was saying he didn't have his bus pass, and I made him get off. But you could tell, it was like, you never know what went on in his household or whatever, and I felt so bad.
Whether providing free bus passes is a good idea or not, the fact remains, at least 50% of students at Skyline are living in poverty, and paying to get to school can be a burden. For students at Skyline, access to education has a cost, and it's a daily fee that requires exact change. For Cross Currents, I'm Maddie Fowler.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is a special edition produced with Mills College in Oakland examining one public school, Skyline High in Oakland. If a student doesn't make the bus or is late to Skyline, parents might get a call from the Family Resource Center, which is located in the Central Administration Building at Skyline. Reporter Nika Tahan takes us there.
Imagine you're one of the hundreds of non-English-speaking parents at Skyline. There's been a crisis in the family, and you need to get in touch with your child, so you call the Family Resource Center. You might hear this.
Buenos días, la señora Medina de Skyline. Si, diga en qué le puedo ayudar.
Or maybe this.
Hello, 早晨, 这里是 Skyline High School. 有什么我可以帮到你呢?
This is the emergency response team for non-English speakers.
There's myself, Christina Medina. Eva La is my partner. And Eva speaks four languages. She speaks Vietnamese, Chinese, you know, Mandarin and Cantonese. And I'm the Spanish speaker.
And it's not just the Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese families they work with, as Eva La explains.
We are here to support all the families to help their children to be successful in high school.
Like their own children were. Both La and Medina have kids who graduated from Skyline, Now they give their support to families by acting as translators.
We're here to just make sure that parents who do not speak English and at least speak those four languages that we can translate have access to the campus and to the administrators and the teachers.
But they're most known for their warmth. These students see them as family.
A lot of kids come here because they know that we're mothers. And they know that we're not punitive, that we really are here to just provide whatever good stuff we've got to give them.
And like most mothers, Medina and Law feel sad when their kids aren't doing well. They say it's a little heartbreaking to have to call students' parents when there's bad news.
Hi, Mr. Edwards. This is Mrs. Medina. I'm calling you from Skyline High School.
Medina fidgets a little in her chair.
And I just wanted to let you know that left campus this morning at 11:07 without permission. Yeah, so we have to let you know that, you know, that they, you know, we don't let kids leave until we have permission from parents.
She says calls like this are fairly common, and parents react in many ways.
Yeah, they're not good phone calls, you know, because parents are at work. They don't want to be bothered and told that their child's cutting class.
That's what she told the father she just called.
He was taking his time absorbing it, but he didn't get angry. He didn't, you know, some parents will just get very upset. But he was cool. He knows it's, you know, he knows his daughter.
Right.
So he'll know what to do.
The most difficult part of what they do doesn't come from working with parents and kids. Medina says the Family Resource Center suffers from a lack of funding, like many other school programs around Oakland. That's made both Medina and Law go from working full-time to part-time.
We don't have enough personnel. No one in the district is going to tell you this, but because of the cuts, the infrastructure, the administrative infrastructure, has been chopped down to the barest minimum. So there are more parents coming up with questions and requests for services than there are bodies to service them.
When the center started in 2007, three people worked there. Last year, they lost their only other staff member. Now it's just the two of them. In all, Skyline's budget has been cut by about $1 million over the past 3 years.
My name is Cynthia Medrano, and I am a Skyline senior.
So to make up for the loss, the center has taken on a few paid student workers. Medrano is one of them, and the other is
Suave Chambers. I'm currently a senior at Skyline High School.
Both help around the office and run the center when Medina and Law aren't there. And though it can be a tough job, they value their time at the Family Resource Center a lot.
I love it in here because I feel like I could be myself in here. A lot of people don't get me. It's just, this is like a space where I could be myself.
When talking to Suave or Cynthia, you can see why students and parents trust Eva Law and Christina Medina. Because they take the idea of family seriously. And when you walk in, you can't help but feel like you're walking in on a real family.
Copycat.
Do you guys like working together?
We're not supposed to be working together.
Well,
you're supposed to be in
you?
Another period.
What?
But anyways, yeah, I guess. He keeps me company
sometimes.
She
loves
me. I get along just fine.
Suave and Cynthia continue teasing each other for a few more moments while Medina looks on from her desk. And though this may not be her actual home or family, she says that she and Eva will continue to do everything they can to make it feel like one. For Cross Currents, I'm Nika Tahan.
This is a special edition of Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and we're spending time at Skyline High School in Oakland. The school has nearly 2,000 students, and its diversity adds to its character.
Skyline campus is great. It's fun. They're really nice people here.
It's cool.
It's a vibe. It's like nice and all.
We have a nice principal.
Skyline is a good school because it's filled with a lot of diversity.
Well, it's like a really pretty campus. It's just like the students make it dirty.
Rowdy.
Skyline is diverse.
I was really going to say the same thing.
Diverse but united.
Hydea Burgess is one senior who is taking advantage of all the opportunities on campus. Reporter Emma Ishii takes us through a day in Hydea's life.
I just love to be busy. I cannot just be sitting around not doing anything. Like, it kills me. Like, I have to do something with my time.
It's a little after 7 o'clock in the morning, and Hydea Burgess is getting ready for school. She's on her way out the door.
And I'll be out the house by 7:23 because I have to catch the bus that comes at 7:30. So I live by the airport, the Oakland airport. It takes me, if I'm late, it takes me an hour to get to school. And the buses really don't run down there. So I have to catch the bus to catch a bus to get to school, or I have to catch a bus to catch the BART to get to school.
Hydea follows this routine Monday through Friday. She chose Skyline instead of a closer school because it feels safer, and that way she can focus on her studies.
The main reason I went to Skyline is because there's a lot of violence in Oakland, and I didn't want to be around that.
Oh, that's the bus.
Hydea makes it to school on time and starts her busy day of classes and activities. The first time I finally get a chance to sit down and talk with her during her free period, she's multitasking. We talk as she types an outline for AP Literature on her iPad in a tiny practice room of the music building.
My teacher likes us to make a lot of outlines. So this is like the first half of my outline. And then I have to finish the second half. And the second half is so much longer. See, that's first half.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That looks very detailed.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to get an A. I've seen some other people turn in their work. I was like, oh, you guys are upstaging me.
Upstaging Hydea seems almost impossible. The woman does a lot.
Goodbye, my love.
Hard to say goodbye, my love. So every day after school, I have rehearsals.
Rehearsals for the school musical Dream Girls.
Mondays, like before rehearsals, I go to Youth Together. Tuesdays, I have debate. Wednesday, I'm a part of Skyline's Creative Writing Club. We do poetry. Thursdays, I have BSU Build On. Fridays is Christian Club. And other activities, I'm a part of track and field. I run the hurdles and I run the relays. Sundays, I have church. I feel like that's all.
She says she's taking advantage of every opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to be a part of almost everything. My mom doesn't like it, but, I mean, hey, when you put it on your college transcript and you're able to fill all 10 slots, not just one and two, feels good.
And yes, if you're wondering, she has been applying to schools, both in and out of state. She sent her applications to 15 colleges.
I've applied to a lot of schools, got a lot of acceptance, too.
Do you have a first choice?
Yeah, Xavier University.
To me, Hydea seems like an extraordinary person. So I went to find out if other people feel this way too.
Hydea is, as you probably know, is a very unique person with a very, very special personality.
Jeff Robson teaches Hydea's AP Literature class.
She's awesome. I really enjoy having her in the class. She's lively, intelligent. She's very conscientious about her work and constantly asking questions and asking about how she can improve. Is definitely more sophisticated than the average 18-year-old.
In some ways, maybe she has to be. Hydea says she's on a mission to change the world and to combat the negative stereotypes so many people have about young black students in Oakland.
Because I feel like the African Americans in my society today, they're like looked down upon, and we are not given enough gratitude for the accomplishments that we have made or whatnot. And so it kind of sucks. I just feel like we should try and prove them wrong. Like we should try and make a difference.
It's lunchtime, and Hydea's rehearsing for the upcoming musical, Dream Girls. She's playing Laurel, one of the three singers trying to make it in the music business.
I chose that character because I didn't want a huge role, because I was already aware of my hectic schedule, but I wanted something major enough that it just worked for me.
Making it work seems to be Hydea's specialty. Though she doesn't know exactly what she wants for her future, one thing she knows is she wants to make a positive change in the world.
I envision myself as becoming that doctor that's willing to travel the world and really help people. And it's like, it's kind of like I'm really living my dream because, like, I love to travel and I want to help people. So, I mean, like, it's a win-win. People get to benefit from what I'm doing. Like, I put out and people are able to receive, like, the blessings. So, and I'm blessed at the same time.
The blessings have continued for Hydea. She was accepted to the majority of the colleges she applied to and has decided to attend Alabama A&M University in Huntsville,
She'll begin there in the fall. For Cross Currents, I'm Emma Ishii.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. This is a special edition produced with students from Mills College in Oakland. I'm Holly Kernan. As we just heard, Hydea is involved in a lot of clubs and activities on campus, including the Black Student Union. In 2012, Skyline's Black Student Union filed a complaint against the school for discriminating against students of color. The lawsuit resulted in an agreement with the United States Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. Aaron Clark has that story on this very active club.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so first on the agenda. So on the agenda, Star, can you write, go over the BSU assembly?
It's lunchtime here at Skyline, and in the band room today, you won't find the usual assortment of instruments being played.
And after that, put future plans for BSU.
Meet Chelsea Burgess, co-president of the Black Student Union, a club that meets here every Tuesday and Thursday. Burgess and Vice President Juliana Areola are leading today's meeting.
What's something else that went well? I think the
Act went well.
The skit. Yeah, I think the dance.
First on BSU's agenda is the annual Black History Month assembly. They're working out the kinks so they can do an even better job next year.
No, but I think the MC should have practiced that just because it did feel like it was a first, you know. We never want anything to be like a first time thing in the assembly. Like the MC's, that was the first time.
The assembly may be the first thing on today's agenda, but it's certainly not the last. Next up is recruiting for the following year. Then they've got plans to volunteer for teachers. And after that, an Earth Day event is even in the works. A lot to do for a small club of 15. But Chelsea Burgess says event planning isn't their only priority.
We got the NAACP involved with us also, and some civil rights lawyers.
That's right. Just 2 years ago, students of color at Skyline were complaining to the school board about unequal opportunities, harassment, and unfair disciplinary treatment. That's when the BSU got the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights involved.
The issues that we saw at Skyline in spring of 2012, it involved some direct targeting and harassment of students of color by teachers and administrators.
Sarah Rubin is a fellow at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. She's currently handling the BSU case.
This unequal treatment is extremely, extremely damaging to these kids. It's not only painful for them while they're in the situation, while they're in the schools, facing this treatment, but it also has a huge impact on the rest of their lives.
According to Rubin, the NAACP tried working with the Oakland School District, but OUSD wasn't as cooperative as they had hoped. So they brought their concerns to the Lawyers Committee, and together, they took their complaints to the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights.
They validated our concerns that there were some serious violations of federal anti-discrimination laws going on, and so the outcome was that they worked with the school to create what's called a resolution agreement.
Skyline entered into the agreement in 2013, which means
first, instituting a new process for addressing discrimination in the schools. Second, training all administrators and staff on responding appropriately to complaints of discrimination. And third, ensuring that all students are receiving appropriate course scheduling and counseling services.
Since then, Rubin has been monitoring the case with the U.S. Office for Civil Rights. And while Skyline is still implementing parts of the agreement, students like 12th grader Brandon DeBos are just glad at least something's happening.
I mean, just having my voice heard, it was very encouraging to myself because not a lot of people actually get to explain their stories, let alone feel like they can tell their story. So it definitely made an impact that I can actually speak up, and I encourage a lot of other peers to speak up just as well.
DeBos was one of the students who testified against Skyline about mistreatment. He's glad things are changing, but he understands that change will be gradual.
Well, I mean, yeah, the lawsuit is going to take a little time to really start with the process, you know, but it will affect the younger generation's future, and I wish they would have been handled sooner, but it's not really my fault. But I'm glad I was a part of the change.
Because especially all you guys are seniors. So you guys really are, the month of June for y'all is non-existent.
No.
Back at the Black Student Union meeting, members of the senior class are making plans for next year. Since Juliana Areola will be graduating, she's talking with co-president Zakiya Moore about making sure Skyline sticks to the agreement.
We still definitely give our input, like just, what was it, last month, the month before?
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting with the...
our civil rights lawyers.
Yeah, and talking about like the problems at Skyline and, you know, whether the issues that we dealt with last year is still an issue this year, which we established that it definitely still is.
While there are still problems at Skyline, like the absence of counselors, BSU students are proud of their accomplishments.
All of that has helped build and make me feel like I'm leaving my mark on BSU, and that, you know, when I come back, I can be like, oh, hey, I did that. I made that minute sheet. I started that. I remember when we bought the accordion folder. I remember when we did this, and feeling like I'm always going to be a part of BSU even when I leave.
The school these seniors came to know their first year isn't the school they're leaving behind. And being a part of that change will resonate with them long after graduation. For Cross Currents, I'm Erin Clark.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is a special edition focusing on telling stories from Skyline High. Oakland Unified launched its African American Male Achievement Project in 2010 to support young black men in their educational pursuits and to end what they call the epidemic of failure of African American students in OUSD.
Because by most measures, African American males are performing the worst relative to other major demographic groups.
Troy Flint is the spokesperson for OUSD. He says Oakland has a history of strong black activism.
Black people have been the prominent minority, at least in terms of social perception, for longer. There is a little bit more attention paid to the African American community, and the political institutions that can advocate for African Americans are a little bit older and a little more robust. So black students may benefit from more attention.
But, he says, Latinos could also benefit from targeted programs.
And there's certainly an argument that there should be an equally powerful initiative to support Latino students. And there's some work going on to really raise that up and develop it. But I think as the Latino community continues to grow and becomes more civically engaged and politically prominent, and certainly as Latino students become a larger and larger part of the school district, we're going to see that balance shift a little bit, and there are going to be more programs which are explicitly supporting the Latino community.
At Skyline, that's already happening. Reporter Mary Ruiz takes us inside the new Young Latino Men and Boys program to find out how it's helping students through mentorship and teaching cultural history.
That's kind of something that's like holding you back, and the regalo is like something good that's been going on.
It's Friday morning in classroom 103, and students are taking turns sharing their cargas and the regalos for the week. That means burdens and gifts in Spanish.
Well, my carga is I'm graduating and I've been job hunting and it's stressful.
The students are sitting in a circle facing each other, listening. It seems hard to believe that a classroom filled with 25 high school boys can focus right before the weekend. But for them, cargas y regalos is an opportunity to show respect to their fellow classmates.
Everybody pays attention to each other, even if they don't want to, but they just still feel like it's respect towards the other person, so they just do it. My name is Victor, and I'm a ninth grade student.
Victor Ronquillo is one of the students in the Young Latino Men and Boys program at Skyline.
Arturo helps me out, and which he's a mentor in the program or the teacher. He helps me out with my homework and talking to teachers and backing me up in situations like getting suspended or getting in trouble in class.
This program offers academic support, wellness, job training, and mentorship. Victor's mentor is Arturo Aguayo.
I always wanted to come back to Oakland and to my high school.
Arturo graduated from Skyline in 2006. He sees himself in his students and uses his mistakes and his success as a way to motivate the kids he works with.
Just like having the mentorship, the male role model, Latino role model, like, you know, being from Skyline, going to Berkeley, graduating, and come back and being the example for the kids.
Arturo mentors all 25 students in his class. He graduated from UC Berkeley in 2012, and he's been running the program at Skyline this past school year.
In the center, just to acknowledge each other and give respect, especially when we do this activity of Carmen Regalo.
we try to hear each other out and listen and try to learn something new from like the everyday Caracas.
By sharing his own stories, Arturo says he's created an environment where he hopes his students feel comfortable.
So that's why I'm here, to encourage them. Like, you know, I did it, all overcame, graduating high school, going to college, graduating from Berkeley, and I'm back here to help you guys, you know. But a lot of kids don't realize that, you know, what the they don't know how to, what help is. So it's really hard to really help them, because if they don't tell me if they need help, it's really hard.
He says one thing that does help is for students to understand their history and to relearn values and traditions they may have lost. He wants his students to know that there are Latinos throughout history who have been successful and important. People they should be proud of.
The Mayans were really smart people. Aztecs were people, really smart people as well. Both tribes were like really smart, like inventing astronomy, right? So for them to know that, yeah, they have a history, they have traditions.
Both Arturo and the Unity Council agree that mainstream Oakland culture can be hazardous to a Latino boy's health because they're at risk of violence or dropping out, and they have few job opportunities. Arturo can relate because he grew up in the San Antonio district of Oakland and had to cope with major loss in high school.
I mean, I lost my dad when I was 17. That was probably the first time I experienced with, like, you know, trauma, like trying to cope with the, you know, the idea that I didn't have my dad no more, right? But a lot of these kids have more, you know, more personal issues that sometimes I don't relate to them.
He can get frustrated by their lack of academic progress. Today, he's sharing his own carga in the circle, the burden of wanting them to try harder.
As I see it, the GPA is getting lower as an average as a class. But, you know, I need you guys to help you guys to get that, you know, GPA up.
Arturo points out that he never had to experience things like violence or drugs, but some of his students do, daily.
And it's hard to engage these kids a lot. I have 25 kids, and it's like a lot of kids dealing with mental health disabilities. They have learning disabilities, a lot of trauma going in their lives.
My mom and my dad had hella problems. And like, my mom wanted to do hella shit, so did my dad. And Arturo was trying to, like, find problems and ways to, like, for therapy and stuff.
That's Alex Mendoza, a 10th grader who says his connection with Arturo has helped him learn lessons he wouldn't learn inside a classroom.
We learn, like, how to become men and how to like, grow up and stop being childish and, like, how life is going to be hard. Yeah.
Despite the hardships some of these teens face, the culture at Skyline is slowly changing as they implement more restorative justice practices and become more aware of the outside influences affecting students' negative behavior. But he says the pressures on kids are so heavy, change may not be happening fast enough.
There is positive people up here, but not enough. So a lot of people are really negative, teachers, admins, officers. You know, it's really hard when you have a lot of negativity up here and it's not really helping the cause.
Students say it's because of the positive energy and support Arturo provides that they feel so comfortable in his classroom. And for Arturo, that's enough of a success story. For now, anyway. For Cross Currents, I'm Mary Ruiz.
And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News, produced with students from Mills College in Oakland. Tune in tomorrow to hear more stories from Skyline, including one about its dynamic new principal.
No, I mean, we love Mr. Trin to where we painted the rock on the senior lawn, and Trin we trust because Mr. Trin is, he helps everyone.
Our reporters for this series are Aaron Clark, Maddie Fowler, Emma Ishii, Sarah O'Neill, Mary Ruiz, Megan Sussman, Nika Tahan, Elizabeth Welsh, and Aaliyah Yates. This program was engineered by Chris Hoff. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.